much you're gaining because you're paying a lawyer to do that.
Like, so yeah, so now this brings up a question. We've seen how you know, the bids that came in for Hemlock Church, and there was a lot really on the high end. So are they qualified? Would they be required to have a, you know, to apply for commercial tenders?
I am not sure.
So what's the difference between someone that puts in a tender for doing work on Hemlock Church, a township-owned asset, and someone putting a tender to do the renovations on a bathroom?
It could just be preference as well as to what the contractor is used to doing for work. So this is a very commercialized institutional building, whereas I understand that a church is also an institutional building, but it's a little different in the construction and architecture. So it's whatever
that's
the,
an understatement. Yeah.
It's whatever the company specifies in. Some companies don't want to come into an environment like the community center and do a renovation, but they're comfortable with doing, you know, more fine carpentry work at a church.
But it's, I think we need some clarification what the difference is between those two township assets and, you know, what the qualifications are required for anyone putting in a tender for a municipal asset. You know, how is that why? And because if we're somehow making the assumption that someone's not going to, the ordinary person's not going to put in a bid to do these bathrooms because it's a township asset.
We aren't so much making assumptions. They are receiving the invitations to tender. It's just historically people, the same people aren't applying. Like one company's been applying for all of our commercial space tenders.
But I'm just wondering what it is that's restricting contractors with, you know, the with those skills and qualifications to do the job on this bathroom, but it seems like there was no restriction for a general contractor to do Hemlock Church. I just want to make sure that somehow there isn't some type of a restriction that's preventing us from getting a reasonable bid on a bathroom renovation.
Yeah, I would hope the contractor would look into that and, you know, see if he or she were qualified to do it. I mean, I don't know whether that's a township, but I know a clarification would be good, but I'm not sure.
Where do they look for that? Where
I don't know. They're in the profession, not us. So
I know, but we need to see, you know, what it is so that when we...
Well, there are certain contractors out there who, when we put out bids for a fire hall or a community center, they just walk away from it. They say, we can't take that on. It's too big of a job for us. And they have their reasons. So I think it's up to them to decide. You know, do they have the right licenses, qualifications, etc.? I don't think the township can say, this is what you need.
No, and they also provide references as well in their submission, right? So we can go back and see that, oh, you've done a community center washroom previously. That's the only due diligence really the township can do on our part, is to check up with their references that they provide.
But I don't really see any reason why a qualified contractor, logically at least a plumber, couldn't quote on you know, renovating, replacing a bathroom. I mean, I'm not critical. I'm really not. I'm just saying, I'm sure that at least for the contractors, there obviously is some perception at a minimum that they can't do it because it's quote unquote commercial or anything else for that matter. But
maybe
I don't understand. How is it any different than the
well,
bathroom?
They'd have
in my
to make
house?
The decision, I think.
Yeah. No, I agree. But but maybe there's a perception that we don't want, you know, our local contractor to do this.
Yeah, there's probably nothing. They've just decided there's lots of work out there.
No.
So they just figure, why deal with, especially at McKellar Council?
Well, of course.
I think it's just they think there's going to be all sorts of roadblocks and complications, you know, to do something for a municipality rather than just dealing with Joe on the street there, you know, who may be reasonable kind of thing. So it's kind of unfortunate.
So, Mike, are those two churches are AODA compliant?
Oh, no.
No, hell no.
No, no. This is a long-term project. This is a long-term project. It's just to make sure that the foundation and roof are good on both to preserve these heritage structures, which we have the township as a, you know, as a municipality has very few, I believe, heritage
buildings.
So basically, in future, we might spend more on renovate.
Yeah, this is just stuff. Outside making it look good.
Yeah, you're looking at
foundation structurally, isn't it? Structurally, it's okay.
Well, I think once work is done, I don't think there'd be any ongoing costs. You know, in the budgets, if it is, it'd be pretty minimal kind of thing. So.
Well, it depends on what, you know, the use of those assets are going to be. Do you need electricity? Do you need a septic and running water? You know, what's it going to be used for? So, yeah, this is a further discussion and a work in progress.
Yeah, and that's be if any groups, you know, want to use it some more kind of thing. So whether you recoup with user fees, yeah, that's a whole other thing. We probably won't be around for that. I'm hoping.
Before the next major renovation. We should actually have some kind of plan, or at least somebody that's got some responsibility to see if we have some use for these buildings or can find a use for these buildings. I mean, I'm not suggesting we flip them or anything. I'm just saying, like, why do we have them? I've never seen anything going on at either of those two places, and I drive by them with great frequency. So that's not to say there hasn't been some, but I've never seen one. Have you?
Yeah, there was. There was a group that was in at Hemlock for quite a few years. Yeah.
Okay.
Near North Outdoors.
Sewing. Knitting club. Used to be there. And so it was used. Right now, and I get comments all the time, it's like, what is it with that? You know, got a phone call like about a week ago. Are you going to do anything with that? Because it's just an embarrassment the way it looks right now.
Yeah.
You know, all it needs is the windows and siding, and at least for the next 20, 30 years, at least it's something that maybe a McKellar can be somewhat proud of rather than looking like a rundown building.
A derelict building.
Yeah.
And that's what the grant application we were doing for the St. Stephen, they were looking for the usage of the facility, and we put it there that it's going to be museum or waiting hall or, you know, some kind of, you know, some kind of usage so that people can come and enjoy the facility.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is a possibility because we're certainly lacking space here for, you know, goods for the our museum and that, so whether they would want to start setting up and having people go to these other sites. I know it's been mentioned about the Hemlock one. It's in a great location for that. Anywhere you get just open for certain hours. You know, if somebody from the committee want to attend and have it unlocked and you had items in there, that's a possibility. So,
and this is where in the budget on the first page where it's administration, NOHFC intern salary and payroll overhead. This is page two.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, a discussion at some point, because the committees, particularly historical, have benefited significantly from an intern. Hmm. And I think that at some point that might be a benefit, and even for doing that one thing is investigating opportunities for these spaces, these assets that we have, and things that can be done as the assets are now, proposals for the future, and to look at what the options are. And as well, if even the current Heritage Museum, it's hard to find those that have the time that can dedicate being there so that the museum is opened certain days at certain times. It's all volunteers. So in the past, that's where the intern has been very helpful with the historical committee or other committees.
Speaking of which, historical committee. Just wondering about the pages on that. Driving tour booklet. This is on page 24. That's been on there for a decade, sort of thing. At the very bottom of 036. I'm just wondering what's happened to it. There's no money for it, but I mean, there was $800 at some point. I don't know if anything was ever produced. That was 2020. Is it still on the books to be done, or because I think it's a useful thing? But
so, could you give me some background on that one? I have no information.
Well, there is a walking tour booklet that I put together when we started the historical committee, and then the intern came along and approved it, and he actually had copies made, so everybody had. Then they had, I think, on one of the nights. They had, I was through recreation perhaps, they had a walking tour, maybe it was through history, and they actually went around and they visited different spots and they took the booklet with them. Mm-hmm. And they'd always talked about a driving tour booklet that they were apparently working on for the past quite a while. Now, as you say, a lot of the buildings have disappeared. For instance, they had Hurdville Mill in a driving tour booklet, well, it's long gone, and they would have the churches in there. So that's why they wanted to get that out before all these buildings disappeared, and that somebody could go on a self-guided tour sort of thing with this booklet. But I don't know, maybe it's just dropped off the list from the history, I don't know.
It's still a work in progress. Yeah. That I think even in the historical minutes it references that.
Yeah.
Within the last couple of months, one of our members with a volunteer. See, everything comes down to how much time that each of the volunteer members have, and we have very few members. We're always looking for new members to join the historical committee. They don't have the time or the mobility to take on some of these projects where an intern would be very helpful. So one of the committee members with a volunteer did go around recently and working on the driving tour booklet.
Okay.
And the walking tour, there is one organized for this summer. I believe it's in the minutes as well of one of the historical committee meetings. It was June, tentatively scheduled for, I believe it was Saturday, June 17th, I believe.
Okay.
Once again, it is in there.
So is there a booklet that exists for walking tours? I mean, does it
yes.
still exist?
Yes.
You can get it at the library or something? Or
in this, at the historical museum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Over just quickly to the other budgets that were handed into recreation. There's a question here for Councillor Haskell. I see movie nights going up. Is that movie costs have gone up, or is that
anticipating the license?
Right. Okay. The license. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think that's $788 or whatever. Maybe it was the actual last year.
Yeah. I'm just wondering. Does every place do that? Do you have to go through the licensing? Do you? Because I'm just not sure. I know they're fairly new movies when they're showing, but. I'm just wondering about the requirement because I want to make sure that everybody's playing the same playing field here.
It was part of SOCAN.
Yeah.
So you have to get a license for playing certain music or movies.
Mm-hmm. So, and everybody's doing that.
They should be.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And how is the turnout on those? Because I'm never sure.
I think they've been talking that they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting, I think, better all the time.
Yeah,
no. So
I know a couple, and they were, I don't know, 20 plus, 30 people maybe.
Yeah, that's good. Because I noticed they sort of, either before or after the Stocking Center gets it, that they usually have the same one. And the
yeah.
Yeah. And there's one tonight, isn't there? Over the edge.
There's something tonight. Yeah, with the Mallorys?
Yeah,
Mallorys
yeah.
Tonight?
Yeah, the Mallorys are going to give a speech prior, because they've climbed all the mountains.
Yeah. Yeah, Judy told me about that last night, I must admit, but I didn't think it was
quite
tonight.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The other one is the swim program. I'm not sure where we're sitting there. Are we getting an instructor or not? Do you know?
We have advertised one or two or whatever we
so
need.
That one we had before is not? Okay. I'm just wondering, it's in here with a budget item. And
yes, we're optimistic and hoping that we can continue with swimming lessons, so it's in the budget.
Okay.
And so we'll keep our fingers crossed that we do get applications.
Okay.
And those lessons or maybe certificate doesn't cover by the, you know, the society?
Red Cross?
Red Cross, they don't cover anymore.
Well, they don't?
No.
So they used to have different materials they would
They stopped covering.
So they would provide a subsidy in the past, or?
No, they didn't.
Oh, with just these?
They were
at the end of the program.
I probably still have swimsuits somewhere with the badges sewn on them. I don't think so, but I did have them at one point. So. This little Red Cross program. Seriously, that's, you know, something every summer or whatever, and got another badge, and then you could act as a pseudo lifeguard. I never got to that status, but anyhow. So.
Well, I mean, if you could revive it. I'm sure when the pool comes along, they'll be looking for lifeguards.
It's probably only like 55 years old. But, you know, so.
Or if they can't find a teacher this summer, then
well, there you go.
I did have two friends that went through and got their full lifeguard status and everything else.
They got your bathing suit.
Yeah.
The lifeguards.
Supervised down there.
No, I kept those bathing suits for a while, but they're gone 50 years ago, so anyhow.
Any other questions on the line items? I guess one I have is quickly on the Sesquicentennial. I'm very confused. I think you did extremely well with what we have in front of us and what you put under the sheets, or somebody did, because this seems to be at a very hard track. And I asked for 2022 as well as 2023, which you put into the figures here as much as you could. This one is just for this year, but I really get confused in what the township's paying, what the grants are paying, and just where it's going, but hopefully it's clear to everybody.
No.
Roseanne can maybe clarify, but when we struck the budget, it's not kind of a way I would do a budget, but I kind of got at the bottom line. I was kind of interested in what it was going to cost the township, and I was kind of thinking somewhere around $2,000 this year, but maybe Roseanne can clarify that. Because I'm confused.
The total budget is around $60,000 for the 2 years, I guess. Is that what I'm reading right? Without, it's not all from the township, so that would be covered by grants.
Yeah, and then revenues.
Right.
So what I'm seeing is $64,000 in revenues and total expenditure of $73,950, but some of that would be coming out of the $10,000 reserve.
Yeah, that's another question I had in reserve, because when I go back to 2022, or maybe even before, I don't know when the committee was struck, money was being taken out of a reserve, but that reserve didn't exist. So it must have been another reserve.
So basically last year we set up a reserve.
You set it up last year.
Last year for $10,000, out of which $8,000 we used it this year.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, last year, sorry. So the remaining balance is $2,000, and then we transferred the 2022, roughly around 32,000, and at the end of the 2022, the balance is 31,135.80. If you look at the reserve,
okay,
and out of which we are using this year 29,300, and the $2,000 is coming from the historical committee reserve.
Okay.
So that will balance out the, you know, whatever they put in the expenses. Even after that, they will still have a reserve of $1,835.
Okay. And all the grants have been received?
So we got the two grants, and one grant we got it, you know, a week ago, that they will pay it balance this year. And I think their firefighter dinner is sold out, so it's all sponsored. So,
yeah. Okay. Any other line item?
So where does the transfer from the historical committee reserve, which expense is it going to cover?
It's all mixed, so it's all covered. As you mentioned, that 2,000 is coming out of your historical committee. So that's why I put the 2,000 coming out of the historical committee and remaining balances coming out of the Sesquicentennial Centennial Reserve.
Yeah, it looks like cemetery bus tour has history in brackets. Are you sponsoring that?
No. Well, we at the historical committee, what we had agreed to. That the historical committee does hereby move to approve funds up to $2,000 to assist the 150th committee purchase of the historical timeline banners.
Oh, it's different, huh?
So I'm just trying to see in the. I'm trying to see where that is in the. The budget.
Maybe it's miscellaneous. I don't see any banners.
See the
expensive.
If you look at the Joyce Hopkins budget, she didn't put anything. She put a zero.
Is there banners on there?
So if you look at the second page of the and it says here historical timeline artist and that one township expenses zero, expected revenue zero, and it's coming out of the $1,000 from the legacy fund.
So
maybe something switched. Maybe you are doing a cemetery tour.
Well, unfortunately, the resolution does not approve that. The historical committee did not approve any allocation of that funding to anything other than the historical timeline.
So I can remove it from on the next budget. That's why I put a zero in front of the timeline if you look at the. On page 23, cost center 385,145, it says historical timeline and 2022 budget $500. Well, there is amount, is it?
Shows up there, not on
the
original.
Okay. What is that amount? Yeah, $2,500.
History giving?
2,000.
Yeah, it shows up then on what Roshan put together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was going through this sheet, I was having a hard time to figure out which.
Well, it makes it difficult for you. I know. Maybe we need a budget lesson 101 or something from either committees so that you can instruct them in what you're looking for. Be helpful. Especially difficult, like you say, when things are lumped together.
Yeah.
Then you can't really divide those up.
Township is going to provide potable water, and if there's any discussion about that in this budget.
I didn't see any line item for it, so be a discussion.
I saw something when I was flipping through. I wasn't looking for that. There wasn't an amount for it. I'm not saying that there's a line, though. Just don't remember where I saw that. So
that would have been a question for Greg, maybe, too, when he was here.
But. Yeah. Perry Sound Industrial Park, is that anywhere in the budget?
Used to be.
Yeah, $13,500 previously. It needs to be under planning expenses.
Area Planning Board is $5,000. Is that
no, no, the Pier Sound Industrial Park.
Next page is on the economic development.
I know there was, this is going back quite a few years, we paid into it so that there'd be a cheaper rate for residents when different contractors took the effluent to the industrial park. That's the reason we get into it. We're not part of the industrial park. Only three municipalities involved in that. And they pay a yearly fee, but we were being charged so that we could get a cheaper rate for residents. And I'm not sure if that's even happening now, so I don't know. Good question. Usually they send out something to us.
So to find out, you know, if we're still, there's a commitment. If there's still a commitment by McKellar Township to pay into this, and you know what has changed, if there isn't,
I guess the question would be: I mean, are residents having difficulty? Are they paying more now because we're not paying the municipality share? Are we hearing anything from people that? Because you don't really want to go back to them necessarily and say, "Hey, we have some money to give you."
don't want to do that, but just to determine. What has changed?
Yeah.
McKellar, pick best pretty summary.
The Perry Sound Industrial Park.
Okay. Yeah, Carling's, it's in Carling, I guess, and then there's McDougall and Perry Sound.
So recently we received the tax arrears report, and it seemed like the tax arrears were quite high, and they were as well in 2021. I think the numbers were very similar. And the does the township have, somehow recall, a tax arrears policy? Is there an actual policy that the township has?
We have a tax collection policy, not the tax arrears policy. So
I believe there was an arrears policy. I'll have to look further. But the concern is, you know, all of these sort of indicators need to be taken into consideration when the income coming in, there's issues, and just to determine, you know, possibly what's happening here, like is this a trend, because then it may sort of give us a an ability to anticipate, you know, long-term financial issues, you know, for the municipality. So
I think the impact it's because of the COVID last 2 years, there's been people for not paying attention to the bills, and first 1.5 year we didn't collect any penalty, maybe that's why, and on top of that, the overall, the you know, the people change, you know, addresses and communication systems, so we couldn't reach to them, even though whatever we have, addresses and everything, we try to our best to reach them and tell them, you know, the outstanding balances. And last year, we, Lori, you know, some of the people in commission didn't even have it, so we end up all looking at the Googles, Facebooks, and trying to find out the people's, you know, whereabouts. And then some of the people came to know about that, passed away a couple of years ago, and we didn't know about it. So maybe that's why some of the one of the reason is that, and other is people really not paying attention to their bills. So that's why maybe at some point I'm going to start the tax sale process for the people who didn't pay for at least 3 to 4 years or more than that.
Is there a lot of them?
There are, but then, you know, because of the, as I said, you know, because of the COVID, we didn't put a lot of
pressure
on them. Now we are out of the COVID and it's things getting better, so we realize this is the year we should go after them and ask for the money. And the best way is to go for the tax sale, because we have been reminding them through the notices as well as through the bills, because in the interim bill they see the whatever the outstanding balance, as well as the final bill they see the outstanding balance. In between, we also send them notices too, so if the owner still doesn't want to pay, then obviously we have to collect through the tax sale.
I'm just wondering if there's something else, you know, something that's going on that, because I've seen someone had posted on social media, they had just received their tax bill, and the reaction was, why have my taxes doubled, you know, from the last tax bill? So we've heard other stories about the financial institutions somehow not fulfilling their, you know, whatever the process is, so that taxes aren't being paid. So you know, I mean, to contact this individual who posted on social media, so what was the outcome, what happened, you know, how did to see if that is a pattern with, you know, all of the you know, significant amount of these tax arrears in the tax arrears report. There's something that just is you know, a staggering number here, and if it's something that our citizens aren't even aware of, that their taxes aren't being paid, you know, that's a major concern for not just the municipality, but for the citizens themselves. So,
and we can only reach to those people through the record what we have it in our system. So if they didn't update the system, we wouldn't know. Or if they are in, you know, hospital or in a situation where they cannot pay it, still we won't know. So we tried our best to communicate with them whatever means we have. Like, you know, if there's a phone number, we call them and tell them, you know, there's outstanding balance. If there's an email address, we keep reminding them through the notices that, you know, there are outstanding balances. But then if the people didn't provide us the updated address or email address or phone calls, so there's no other way to communicate them.
Right. There's a process I was just checking on my phone to see that it still exists called skip tracing, and there's professional organizations or agencies that follow this up. This is what the bank does when a debtor disappears effectively, and you pay a fee for it, but I mean, as opposed to getting nothing, that's the case. I mean, if you're aware though that previous payments were being made through their mortgage payments, in other words through the bank or whatever their mortgage is held by, it happens. It was my experience that happened randomly. I mean, perhaps the option is, and I don't know the legality of this, but I mean, if previous payments were received directly from the mortgagee, then we could follow up with them. It isn't unheard of, that's for sure, for the bank to screw that up, right? Because it's done on a wholesale basis for millions of people. So, in any event, but I mean, skip tracing is something that we could look at for those that are that we just can't find them, right? That they've disappeared. And I'm not saying they're maliciously hiding. Maybe they just simply moved. I mean, if their tax bill was going to their home and they moved their home, it happens. So, doesn't mean they're hiding, but surely God, they must know they got to pay taxes too. So, there was like 48 or 50 items on the list. Is that accurate? Yeah. And do you know the gross amount of the arrears?
I don't have in front of me, but then
a guesstimate. I'm not asking for an exact figure, but
a little over
300 something. Yeah.
Yeah.
362,000.
Okay. Okay.
Because I think there are some people who are passed away, and
yeah,
and we. Nobody, you know, mentioned to us about the, you know, the person's disease, and you know, and there is no estate or anything, so we are nowhere. Like, we cannot. Who should we contact? To?
Yeah.
But that's what skip tracers do.
Okay.
It's a professional business.
Right.
Some people call them bounty hunters, which is not accurate either. But I mean, they simply follow up people that have skipped, but I mean that implies they're maliciously doing it. Some of them are innocently doing it. So
yeah, right. Skip dishes, right?
Sorry. No, there's that too, but that's a different kind of skip.
Somebody's getting hungry.
Yeah.
But if you want, I mean, I just googled it. You can find a dozen or more of them right off the bat. I just did while I was doing this.
Definitely, I'll look into that.
Sure.
And see
if you want to call me, and I can help out. So.
Sure.
I never had to do that, but I'm aware of it anyhow.
Yeah.
So.
The only fear I have of it, in one hand I'm saying, yeah, we're making interest off of these unpaid taxes, but on the other hand, I never want to see us in a situation where we're actually put somebody's place up for a tax sale, and they actually are living there, and they have never seen any contact whatsoever that
sure.
they owe taxes. Maybe mentally they're just not capable of it. I just would really regret that something like that would ever happen, so I really like to see staff be confident that that scenario is not happening with some individual who's not paying their taxes. They're just, it's going on to their table, and they just don't have the mental ability to even handle it. So I don't know how much further you have to take it before you go to tax sale, but it worries me.
Mm-hmm. I'm more concerned about the people who haven't paid the taxes for at least 4 years or 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Because then it's a liability for us, and I don't want to do that. So that's why I'm focusing more on the people who haven't paid like 3 or 4 years or 5 years taxes,
yeah.
or they paid minimum like, you know, $50, $60, and still they are owed a lot of money.
Now, a vacant piece of property, I don't think we have to worry about, because it's not going to put somebody on the street, but if it's a house that's not having taxes paid on it, and it's like a special little caution there, you know, because I do know of elderly people. I don't know if they pay their bills. In fact, I know some that aren't even elderly. They don't pay their taxes. You know, they're just don't. Mm-hmm. And it's too bad to just see somebody knock on the door one day and.
Well, the possibility of you keeping track of all the letters that are sent out and everything, so maybe at some point you would have to have access to and maybe help Bergeron out, because you might know people personally and he wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know, is that allowed for that? I don't think council's allowed to have any of that information.
No, not personal information.
No.
No.
But as far as the amounts and the locations. And
yeah,
the,
we can look into that.
Roughly,
yeah.
Without being specific, yeah.
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 Well, I think the other way could be proactive. Council then could take the other approach. Maybe if you know of people, then you could be talking to them and maybe just suggesting to them that, as Councillor Ryland said, most people know that they have to pay over time, and suddenly 3-4 years, I guess they're not charging me anymore. But for those who are not capable, you're right.
It's tax-free this year.
There's all sorts of reasons.
Monster
reason why taxes aren't being paid. Like,
oh, I know. That's the trouble. Some take advantage of it, so it's just bad.
Yeah. It's just you hate to ever be in a situation where council is be bad publicity anyway, selling some personal place on them.
Yeah.
We are still accruing interest on all of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Whether they know that's another matter, but yeah, so
Yeah, but there's also a question too, and I don't want to spend all the time now on it, but when those back ones are paid, the township doesn't get all of that necessarily. Doesn't it go to the individuals themselves, a portion thereof to pay off? My understanding was that the township just doesn't go in and collect all of that. It doesn't come straight to the township.
From a tax sale, you're speaking.
Yeah. Tax sale, yeah. We only collect whatever they owe us.
Right.
So if they, let's say they owe us $40,000 and property goes for $100,000,
right,
then we only owe $40,000. They pay us $40,000 plus the legal expenses.
Yeah, and then the rest goes to the individual.
Goes to the OMI.
Which, which is fair enough. We do get our back taxes, but yeah, we don't make money beyond that.
Wait, anything else for the line
items? Is that subject discussed in the audit reports that we have? Do they even mention tax arrears?
No.
Okay. Did they look at that, do you know?
They do.
Okay. Okay.
Well, maybe the next one coming up will look at that.
No.
Resolution 23-250, the Councilor Hassan, second for Councilor Ryan, be resolved the Council of Corporations, Dr. Cutler, hereby arise and report from the Committee of the Whole Act.
4:32.
4:32 p.m. All the questions, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 23-251, move the Council of Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be it resolved the Council of Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby give bylaw number 2023-30, being the bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed an open Council this 31st day of March 2023. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. And Resolution 23-252, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does adjourn this meeting at
4:33 p.m.
to meet again on April the 4th, 2023, or at the call of the mayor.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. Do we have any idea when we were doing another budget meeting?
I think that was sent out.
April 14th at 1 o'clock?
April 14th, okay, thanks.
And can I finalize the budget on that day? Like, you know,
I guess it'll depend on what you come back with, because I'm
because
still
there's not much to, you know,
no
changes into the budget. So whatever we discussed today, so other than a couple of numbers, so
yeah, I'd still interested though. As I said, I don't like that 5.9. I want to see what's actually happened, and I'd like to see if you can take it to the next step to see what it does per thousand assessment.
Okay,
and then there's a possibility maybe of passing everything at that point, but. I mean, if we started getting into the $7 a thousand range, I think we have to be a little concerned. So I think we're still in the six. And we used to be the middle of the road with the surrounding municipalities. I'm not sure we are anymore. So it'd be nice to see what they've set. If they're at this stage, I don't know if they are yet or not.
At least lower than the Whitestone.
Sorry?
Whitestone looking at the six plus or something.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But I'm just saying, when you look at their final... it might be 650 a thousand. Ours might be 680 a thousand, and that's where it really makes a difference. So, it'd be nice to know what the others are actually if they're to that stage yet. So, I would say can't be guaranteed of a passing a budget at the next meeting, but I guess we'll aim for that. But it's about the best we can give you.
Can I ask why we don't discuss fees and charges as part of the budget stuff? Obviously, that's not our major source of revenue, but it is a major source of revenue. It seems to me, I mean, it was, I remember thinking this last year, I never brought it up, but at the very least, to look at that, I mean, if our expenses are going up like that, then shouldn't our revenues?
I would say that should be led by department heads. I mean, that used to happen.
Okay.
The building department would come and say, you know, we're not charging enough.
Sure.
We should be upping this the rate. So I think it has to come from them if we're going to look at the changes. Fees.
But at least if we had an annual time to look at it, that's my point. I'm not suggesting that we should decide those things, but I mean, it should be part of the budget process. We should look at revenues as well as expenses. And I know we do to a point, but...
And I think what happens too, I mean, that even happens throughout the year, changes can be made to the fees.
True.
And I know that's happened before. So. if you feel that there has to be. And it doesn't really affect the budget in the sense that it's set and there's more revenue coming in. It all depends, though, too. Like even with planning, if you up the fees, you might get fewer applications. So,
So in the past, regarding when groups had come forward to council requesting that the fee be waived, you know, for something such as the community center, then we would receive a staff report which would go through the expenses of running the community center and the revenues. So I think, you know, those are opportune times, but yes, definitely during the budget discussions, absolutely. Revenue, how do we generate revenue? And you know, the things that council does charge fees on, council has to decide, you know, is this something that the council expects to be cost neutral, cover part of the costs, or not cover any of the costs? So it's...
Understood. But I think it's important just to have an annual review, and the budget seems to be at the logical time of year to do it, admitting that we change them alternately at specific points. But I think it's worthwhile to do, just simply to say that we will look at this every year and make sure that the fees are still appropriate.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Right. And then to look at, oftentimes they recommend to look at the audited financial statements at the same time and look at the asset management plan. So. Yeah.
Did you work for a bank at one time or something?
I swear to God, my main job in life was nothing but budgets day in and day out. So anyhow, and every time you thought you put it to bed, you didn't. So
okay, we have an amendment to this closing. It's now 4:38 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. I suppose that's something that Roshank could have available for our next budget meeting, the fees and charges by law. We have one or two?
Two.
So that could be looked at.
Anyway, it's just a suggestion, that's all. I mean, I find it ironic, and because